Wherever we live, we have an innovative eye for making our spaces a home we can call our own. Before we revel in our creativity, we want to thank Kroger for sponsoring this episode. Head to Kroger.com/zero hunger, zero waste to discover how they're ending hunger and waste in our local communities.
Currently, I'm renting, but I want to live in a colonial, not anything like crazy big, but just nice and comfortable for like my family and I. And then I want a big backyard for the barbecues and the parties and things like that. Something that just welcomes people and just feels like love. And it can be small, but I just want it to be like really intimate and beautiful.
Everybody has to have somewhere to live. So either you're going to be paying someone else's mortgage or you're going to be paying your own mortgage. So owning a home, to me, it's a sense of freedom. It brought a lot of pride. I used to own a home, but after a divorce, I sold my home. So my next goal is to own a multifamily home so I can rent out 3 units and live in one.
We sold our last house. That was a plan, was to buy the bus and make a schoolie and all that. And I still have in the back of my mind, it's going to happen eventually. So I wouldn't say I wouldn't buy a house again. I'm open to it. It's just a matter of where we at and what is it going to do for me. There's all kinds of dwellings. You could have a cabin. You could have a tiny home, container home. You could have a yurt, right? There's all kinds of options.
Welcome back to More Than That. With the rise in barriers to buying homes, we're leaning into solutions to save money and redesign our spaces, both big and small. So whether it's updating a kitchen, navigating alternative housing options like tiny homes, or opening up our mindset to what a home could be, our communities are leaning into our imagination and creating a DIY boom like never before. In this episode, we chat with interior and environmental designer Carmion Hamilton and tiny house designer and consultant Jewel Pearson about helping others love the way they live. Thank you so much for being here. Like, I have been a fan of the work that you do, but your genius is like just mind blowing.
Oh, thank you for having me.
For anyone who might not know who you are, tell us who you are and what you do.
I am Carmion Hamilton. I am a Memphis-based interior designer, blogger, and content creator. And I just so happen to be a girl that loves plants and have a couple shows on HGTV.
Y'all heard the couple, okay? Thank you so much. You are the design queen, the design leader in so many ways. Why is design important to you? Why is design one of the things that, you know, just fuels how you show up in these spaces?
Well, design is incredibly important to me now. I've been in the industry 15 years now, but it wasn't until having my own business, going into people's homes, and then having a relationship with plants that I realized how impactful our environments are to the way we behave, the way we feel, the way we relate to each other. And just seeing people behave differently from a space that feels good versus a space where their needs aren't being met, then that's when it became a real passion for me. Mm. Our environments dictate a lot of those things. And that's when you go, like, it's way beyond picking out a cute situation or the right paint color or whatever. It's making sure that our needs are being met from all of these decisions.
How do you describe your personal design style and decor choice?
I describe my personal design style as modern bohemian.
Ooh.
So my foundation of every room is the furniture is clean line. It will fit any aesthetic, any time or space.
Yes.
But with that, I absolutely layer on as much as I can that is Black related, Black art, cultural elements or furniture pieces from the diaspora, but anything where I can say a Black person lives here that I can add to my home, I absolutely will. Art, fabrics, pillows, anything.
I love that.
I will do it.
No, I always, one time you did this, is it a wood slat? And it was behind, what was you put in your bedroom?
Behind the bed.
Child. Uh-huh. Is life changing over here? But like, it felt so tribal, it felt like, of the ancestors. It felt like before, you know, we had extra money to even think about luxury. Like we were building, we were using the wood in the backyard to put something cute behind to make it like.
Exactly.
So let's get into like finance and money, because it costs money to do anything, but especially to create spaces.
I absolutely understand the cost of living is astronomical right now, but it does not discount the importance of the environments that you're in all the time. It actually makes it more important. A lot of us don't have the expendable income to leave and go and exist outside of our home. So your home is that much more important now. And you may not be able to go buy the $10,000 restoration hardware sectional, but let's say there's a local furniture store that makes a dupe of it that has the same quality. What you're now shopping for are the bones of the things that you like. A lot of people that are making their money, they are giving their stuff to Goodwill, the Salvation Army, other small vintage consignment shops. Shop those places because they typically have great quality pieces, but at a tenth of the price that they would be brand new.
Ooh, I like this. I like this. I love where this is going. I'm going to go here with you because the DIY TikTok community is so real. I be thinking I could build hard walls. I be thinking I could do it all.
People love a before and after, especially as it relates to the home space. It's a look what I can do kind of thing. Like, but it is also a nod for people to just try. And I tell people, even if you don't see it together in the inspiration that you're looking for, the fact that you love these things, like it may not go together for anybody else. It may not make sense to anybody else. But the fact that you love them, that is the thread designed for you. But your house should reflect your personality, and no one is a one-note personality.
I love that. For anyone who feels like they're in a rut in their current situation in life, what advice would you give them on how to do that, how to rebuild, pivot, and go after the life they want?
The advice that I have for anyone that's starting over or rebuilding, I would say, one, focus on your values, peace, honesty, loyalty. How do you then personify those values?
Yes.
I would have someone visualize a day that they felt like was the best day of their life. You woke up and you did what? So getting someone to visualize the imagery that surrounds it and what setting are you in, and narrating this and writing it down, and then going through and highlighting those tangible things. It was a flower plate, or it was a wool sweater that I was wearing. Taking those things and figuring out how to then have them for yourself. Like, what is your goal? What is your dream? What does the best day of your life look like? Write it down and go after those things.
So do you believe it's important for Black people to enjoy like the luxurious, soft life things in their homes? And if so, why, especially for our community, is that something we should focus on within our homes?
It is 1,000% imperative that Black people enjoy the environments that they are in. Number one, we are at such a disadvantage when it comes to home ownership. There are so many things that work against us and have worked against us systemically from home ownership. So we have rarely been in spaces where we've been able to take control of the environments that we're in. So if you have the money, the physical ability, or even the want to be in a space that you love, then it is imperative that you make the choices to do so. We, as a people, have gone through enough over the last 400 years. The least we could do for ourselves is exist in a space that we feel good about being in.
Having a space we can call home, no matter the size, is the dream. One that's a safe haven and a passion project where we can DIY decor and finesse our food pantries on a budget and on our terms. Lucky for us, we're all about action. We see the vision and capitalize on our cleverness to make our dream homes a reality. Kroger believes that everyone deserves affordable, fresh food. Head to Kroger.com/zero hunger, zero waste to discover how they're ending hunger and waste in our local communities. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Thank you so much for being here.
Sounds good.
Perfect. Okay, so while I know who Jewel Pearson is, how would you introduce yourself, your name, and what you do?
My name is Jewel Pearson. I am a product and project manager by trade. I do this tiny house stuff. I've figured out that it is my passion. I have lived in my tiny house. In May, it will be 8 years. And I researched, designed, and built my tiny house, and at a time when tiny houses weren't a thing.
Your story is so interesting because you're the first person I've talked to that's actually chosen to leave like the big city lifestyle for the tiny home experience. So was there a major event or tipping point that made you decide to go tiny? Like when did you know you needed a change?
So this is, for me, this was like a long-standing goal. I was a young single mom, had my daughter at 20, and just all of the challenges of young single mom, young Black single mom. And I just knew that once she was headed off in her journey and doing her thing, I then wanted to be able to have an opportunity to focus on me so that I was leading my life more on things that I wanted to do versus a salary or finances dictating how I lived.
I love that you said this is about me not defining my life and how I live by what I can make, but right, by how I actually want to live. And I think that is liberating in many senses, but especially as a Black woman in this country who traditionally, historically, our ancestors didn't have no choices to do any of that.
Absolutely.
And just so I have an idea, so what's the range in square footage that a tiny home usually fits into? What are the parameters for a tiny home?
So again, mine is on wheels. So I always mention that.
But on wheels, excuse me.
Mine is on wheels. So depending on who you're talking to, it's either under 400 square feet or under 500 square feet. So somewhere in that parameter.
Wow. And so essentially, in your customizing your home, you had to work with a builder or planner to get everything you wanted in there? Or how did that customization process work?
So I actually started with a piece of graph paper. And because I knew that the custom tiny house trailer that I was building my home on was 28 feet long and 8'6", almost 9 feet wide. And so in the one bedroom, one bath apartment that I was living in at the time, I actually had taped off in that apartment 28 feet of length and the width. So I knew, you know, if I'm operating in this space, if I'm outside of this space, what am I doing?
And so what are your favorite like details that are 100% you that you had to have in your space?
I had to have a lot of windows. I need sunlight, sunshine. And I didn't know exactly where I was going to be placing my tiny house. So I knew I needed to have windows all around because I wasn't sure how the house would be situated. So the windows, I wanted my bathroom to be large enough so that I could continue and not feel cramped and have my perfumes and jewelry on my bathroom counter. That, you know, that is what makes home for me. And I knew that at any point, like if I had to shift and not feel that this was home, and I knew I wouldn't be able to do this long term. And so that was why it was critical to do all of that work up front. And I have all of the things in my home because before I actually built, I knew who I was and what I needed to have in this space. I've downsized my home, but I've not downsized my access and my luxuries. I still have all of that.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. It sounds like you are very happy in this space.
Absolutely. For me, I do feel like I have a responsibility to share what I'm doing, how I'm living, the benefits, because our community needs so much of what I believe tiny houses could offer us. you have to look at the numbers for home ownership. And year after year, our community, the Black community, remains at the bottom of the list for achieving home ownership. And so that is why I say, we have to think outside of the box. Cities and communities have to think outside of the box for addressing the affordable housing crisis as well as the unhoused. And so as I think about it, it is, how do we actually, as our community, actually get to home ownership when the conventional methods show year after year we aren't achieving it as it is now?
And is there any part of this process that you would warn or caution people to be aware of when it comes to maybe some of the challenges that you face that are particular to tiny homes?
Yeah, sure. So the legality of it. So if you're talking about a tiny house on foundation, you're going through the city-county process, and that's a totally different conversation. But with my house being on wheels, most cities and counties don't allow tiny houses on wheels. But what that means is then that you can't have your tiny house in an urban area. And I have had to actually relocate my house twice because of issues with racism in an RV park in a rural area where I was no longer safe simply because of racism. And so that is also a lot of why I share my story, because my counterparts, my white counterparts, they're not experiencing that. And so that for me was like a responsibility. Okay, I need to talk to us because I want us to see this movement as a viable option, but I also need us to be aware of the additional concerns that we're gonna have as Black people.
I am so sorry that happened to you. Here you are doing a whole new journey trying to choose yourself. And racism can't leave us alone, Lord. Please, Jesus. We just want to be left alone.
Left alone. Let me live my best life.
That's all I want to do.
They just be peopling. Racists just be peopling and can't stop. Just cannot stay in their lane to mind their business for the life of them.
Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for not worrying about it and still living your best life. Because some people might have said, you know what? Here I go. That's it. That's enough tiny home for me. But I think that is really, really empowering to hear. So with that in mind, what lessons or beliefs or practices from our ancestors, from our elders, do you maintain when it comes to innovation and making the best out of an undesirable situation or reinventing yourself and owning and pouring into your space?
I would say I feel like I draw resilience, because in the 8 years that I've lived in my house, it hasn't been easy. And I talk about this a lot. You know, achieving a dream, what it looks like. It's, you know, it's not just I'm going to do this and it's a thought bubble and then you go off and do it. So you got to do some research, make a plan to do it, and also give yourself some grace in that plan. Planning doesn't always happen steps 1 through 10. Sometimes you get to step 2 and then you got to rethink it and start over. Mm. And then finding a support system, support people. And it might not be your circle of friends, but they might not understand what it is that you want to do, but find you some support in people that can relate to what it is that you're trying to achieve. And then I always say, be careful who you share your dreams with or your plans with, because sometimes people are talking you right out of it because of their own fears or insecurities or, you know, projecting that on you where they would never do it. But that's not their dream. It is for you. I don't feel like I have given anything up in this process. And that I attribute to the design of my home.
Thank you to Carmion Hamilton and Jewel Pearson for dropping so many gems. As they both shared, with all we have to deal with as Black people on a daily basis, the least we can do is to create a space we love to be in. Thanks to my girls at Black Market Vintage, who helped design my space, I was able to understand the importance of having a home that feels like me. Now, looking at my walls and personal pictures, whether it be of heroes or my family, it reflects who I am. And that in itself empowers me to show up in all sides of my life. That was so illuminating, and I, for one, am ready to make some DIY decor on a budget. Aren't you? Thank you for tuning in, to our guests for joining us, and to Kroger for sponsoring this episode. Head to Kroger.com/zero hunger, zero waste to discover how they're making fresh food more accessible. In our next episode, we'll talk about how to protect all those housing upgrades when natural disasters strike. Join us as we chat about all things survival. Remember to check out the show notes for all the resources mentioned in the show. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, check us out on socials at More Than That Show.